certainly, as the one preacher says, and all preachers say it, and I'm glad that it's stuck in my heart, every scripture should be familiar scripture. And you know, them songs mean something. They sung that song, Brethren, We Have Met to Worship. I love that song. It gets me in that second and third verse about them sinners slumbering on the brink of woe. Can you bear to let them go? Death's coming and hell's moving. Scripture says hell beneath hath moved to greet thee at thy coming. That's a scary scripture to know in your heart. But I'm glad hell ain't moving to meet me. Amen. My moving, I got a different destination. Preacher said, was you predestined to go to hell? If I didn't get saved, I was. But I'm glad Jesus came by and changed my destination. Everybody all right? Amen. We got Gospel of John, chapter number 21. I'm going to start reading at verse number 15. Familiar scripture. We're going to read to verse number 22. And this is what the scripture said. It said, when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verse number 17, he said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whether thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, Follow me. Verse 20 said, Then Peter, turning about, and seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith unto Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Would you help me pray, precious Lord? We come to you one more time. Lord, Father, I pray. Lord, may I not tarry long in detail. May I not tarry long in my thoughts. But Lord, Father, may we just be open, Lord, Father, and you preach through me. I'm not wanting to preach fast, Lord, Father. I'm not wanting to preach slow. But Lord, we want to preach, Lord, and be effective. Lord, Father, I don't want this congregation to hear me preach, Lord. I want them to feel you when I preach. And Lord, so I need you. I need you to anoint me. I need you to forgive me, Lord, Father, before all that, if I have failed. Lord, we've tried our very little best today to be what you want us to be. But Lord, we want to be effective. Lord, Father, that we may adopt these things in our heart, not just their heart, but Lord, my heart. Lord, you've spoke to me today. But Lord, maybe we all leave out of here today. And I know there's some here that's lost, Lord, Father. I pray and hope and pray, Lord, through this message you'll speak to their heart. And I believe you will, but I pray when conviction comes to their heart, Lord, Father, if today is the day, Lord, that they would mind you and follow you. Lord, Father, may we do all these things, but Lord, Father, but we do it all in the name of your sweet Son, in whom we ask these things, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Thank you for standing and reading. Here we find the scripture. We find this, the Bible says in verse number 14, this is the third time that Jesus shewed himself unto his disciples. This is the place where Peter said in verse number 3, he said, Simon Peter said to them, I go a-fishing. This is after the Lord has already died and on the cross and resurrected on the third and glorious morning and appeared unto the disciples. We find here in these scriptures, though, that the Lord had comes by. This is where the Lord told Peter when they had fished all night and caught nothing. He said, cast thy net upon the right side. May I say this? I love that where it says, cast thy net on the right side. We don't get anything out of this Bible. If we're going to get anything out of this walk with the Lord, we're going to have to put our net on the right side. When I say this, you know, somebody says, well, preacher, that means he didn't cast it on the left side. I mean, on at face value, you can say that, Brother Josh, but there's a right way to cast that net. There's a right way to do the things that God wants you to do, and there's a wrong way. And some people say, preacher, is there any wrong way to do something and that of the Lord? And I'll say, absolutely yes. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. So if you're doing things without faith, the Bible says, without faith, it is a sin. So I'll say tonight that when we do things and that for the Lord, We better make sure the Lord's wanting us to do it. Let's do it the right way and do it by faith. Here we find in this scripture here that Jesus is coming unto Peter. We find that Peter and those disciples that went with him, we find in this very chapter, we've got Simon Peter, we've got Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee. If you'll have it, it's the same old fishing crew that went fishing once again. And they're all together again after the resurrection that Christ had appeared two times, but they went back to fishing and doing the things that was familiar. But I'll say in this scripture here in verse number 15, where we picked up where we're reading, we always find these scriptures and people know them to be famous when Jesus asked three questions about how Jesus asked him, said, "Lovest thou me?" And in the first part, he asked him, "Do you lovest me more than these?" The next two times, he asked Simon of Jonas, how he addresses him, said, "Ask him, do you love me?" May I say this evening? Peter denied the Lord three times, and the Lord's going to have him declare three times, and he's going to delegate some things to him three times. May I say this? The Lord is dealing with Peter's sin when he denied him the three times before the cock crowed and let him know that he denied the Lord. You mark it down in your Bible. You can italicize it. You can put it in your daily planner. You could write it on the palm of your hand. When Numbers chapter number 32, verse number 23 was spoken by Moses, who got the word from the Lord, he said, be sure your sin will find you out. It don't matter if you're a pastor. It doesn't matter if you're a preacher. It doesn't matter if you're a lay member. The Lord said, your sin will find you out. We always attach that scripture to the lost people, and I will say this evening, that if you're lost tonight, your sins will find you out. When it finds you, it'll let you know that you are without God, separated from His mercy and separated from His grace. But thank God that when your sins find you out, the Savior comes by your way and lets you know there is mercy and there is grace. I'm glad when I was found guilty and justice was calling my name, that mercy answered that call. I'm glad that the door of mercy is still yet open. It was opened on Calvary the day that Christ died upon the cross, and it still stands wide open unto day. I've heard them old preachers say that we're going to open up the doors of the altar or open up the altars for sinners to pray. Friend, man has never opened up the altar. God's the only one who opened up the altar, and He opened up way back then, and it's still open today. So if it was me tonight and I had a concern, if I had some doubts in my heart, if I was struggling with some things, I would run to an altar of mercy while the door is still open, while there's still time upon the clock, while the sands are still running through the hourglass, while I still have my time and still have my faculties. I'd run to God and say, "God, would you please have mercy upon me?" And seek the Lord while I may be found, and call upon Him while He is near. And can I say this evening, friend, if you're saved and you've been born again, and you've got that assurance and you know you're saved, and friend, you're having struggles because you ain't been doing like you ought to, you ain't been following the Lord, you ain't been a witnessing like you should, or testifying like you should, or singing like you should, can I stop right there and say something? It tickled me plumb to death to see all these young people get up and sing. It tickled me to death that they sat there and they got up and didn't have to be poked or prodded or twisted or pushed. Somebody say amen right there. I liked it a whole lot when they screwed the song up and it says the dearest friend they ever had. And some people might say couldn't have been that too good a friend if you messed up a song. But I like how you just muscled and pushed and muscled and pushed. May I say this, you're going to find difficulty if you're going to walk for the Lord. You're going to find some struggles if you're going to walk for the Lord. But keep on a pushing, keep on a pressing, and towards the high mark of the calling of Jesus Christ. And friend, you'll find victory in a time of trouble. But know this, if you've sinned, God will deal with you. The problem that we have in a lot of churches today, and I will still say it still happens in Mount Zion Baptist Church, we're not exempt from it, is that saved people won't deal with their sin. Churches don't grow and churches don't manifest like they should because they don't look on the part of how they're supposed to be in that with the Lord. We had went to Cameron Chapel's graduation get-together, party, whatever how you want to call it, and we went to a big old fancy, if you'll have it, non-denominational, big, huge church. It was big, wasn't it? I mean, the bathrooms looked like it was almost half the size of the congregation there, this sanctuary. I mean, it was big. But we was talking to the facilities manager, and we was talking to him, and he said they had this motto when they gathered together. This is a great big fancy church. We're talking the ones that we call jacklegs, you know, the ones that don't believe like we do. And we say ain't got no spirit, and they're dried up. They're just doing things to tickle their fancy. He says there's a motto they have at that church. It says they are to gather together, and they believe in gathering together. And when they gather together, they said there's two things that they got to do when they gather together. They are to give, and they are to grow together. Somebody say amen right there. And after they gather, and after they give, and after after they grow, they're supposed to go. He said they're supposed to go. It doesn't matter if they're supposed to go to Walmart, if they're supposed to go to Kroger, if they're supposed to go to their neighbor, or if they're supposed to go to Guatemala or go to Russia or go to Africa. He said you cannot sit around the church and just sit and let things go by. And can I say this? The Lord was talking to the Apostle Peter. He wasn't just dealing with his sin that he had failed in the things that he was supposed to do, but he was also charging Peter for something that was about to happen in his life. Note this and put this in your heart. When God deals with your sin, he'll deal with your sin where ye fail, but he'll also give you a charge on how to get things right and to get up and go. You know what's wrong with all of our Baptist churches, Brother James? We no longer have a get up and go. We'll gather, but we won't give. We'll gather, maybe we might grow, but we got to get up and go. May I say this, friend? The house of God, the people of God, which is the people of God, which is the house of God. We are the body of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. There should be no moss growing under our feet, and it shouldn't be growing on top of our heads. Somebody say amen. He's dealing with Peter's sin. In this first part, he's dealing with Peter's sin. He says, Peter, do thou lovest me more than these? He says, do you love me more than these? Notice what Peter did. He loved the boat. What's he do? He says, I go a fishing. Peter was a boatman. He was a fisherman. He loved to get out on the boat and do the things. It was what he liked to do. So what does he do? He grabs the same crowd that he runs with. Can I say this? I'm not trying to be difficult. I'm going to get to this next part. But the Lord's telling him, he says, you went back and now you're in the boat and now you're fishing and you're with the same crowd. Now thank God that that crowd that he fished with was called to the Lord and they're saved. Somebody say amen. But he says you went back doing the same thing you always did. Can I say something? When we get saved, we shouldn't go back to still doing the same thing we once did. If God saved your soul, he made a change in your life. He changed your desires, he changed your want-tos, and he changed your taste. One time I was preaching down in New Liberty, and I had an alcohol problem whenever I was lost and undone. And I said, I could not get myself away from the fountain. I was always under the influence. But since the Lord saved my soul, I've been drinking from a different fountain. And Randy Spinney hollered from the congregation. He says, yeah, and you're under the influence. Can I say this? If you've been saved, there should be an influence in your life by the one who saved you to push you in the direction you ought to go in. But I'm not naive enough, and neither is the Lord, to know that our flesh sometimes wants us to get in a place of comfortability. The boat was easy. Fishing was easy. And the crowd was easy because he knew them. He knew them. He said, Peter, but do you love me more than these? He said, well, you getting that, preacher? He's asking Peter, he said, do you love me so much you'd quit your boating? Do you love me so much you'd quit your fishing? Can I say this? Me and Noah went fishing a couple weeks ago. Where's Noah at? We went fishing, didn't we? Can I tell the fishing story what you did? All right, he said, no, I can't tell the fishing story that he did. Funny fishing story. If you want to hear the story, I won't put it in the message. We'll tell it after church. But we went fishing. A lot of you don't know, I used to have bass boats and John boat and all kinds of things like that. I loved in the bass boat. I loved getting up in the morning and going fishing. Tammy did not like me going fishing, but she knew it was something that I liked to do. And we went fishing, and I'll tell you what, it was back in a spot of comfortability. James, I didn't have to relearn the things that I once knew. I knew where the points were. I knew where the soft bank was. I knew where the gravel was. I knew what kind of lure you threw at the gravel. I knew what kind of lured you threw at the soft bank. I seen the brush. I knew what kind of lure to throw at the brush. I knew if it was supposed to be a jerk bait, a drag bait, a spin bait, or a crank bait. I knew what it mean, just come back. The comfortability came back. I was by myself in the back of the boat. I felt like I was back in my own element. I'm fishing with people who go to church. I'm out on a lake not too far from home. Tammy knew where I was at. Had my son with me. Had that form of comfortability. And I want you to know this, and you all may not know that. I'm telling you, it don't matter who you are, the devil and the flesh still knows your temptations. Still knows the things that you want. Maybe your temptation, maybe your thing ain't fishing. Maybe your thing ain't hunting. Maybe your thing's pickup trucks, car stereos, social media, Facebook, Instagram, all the other things. I don't know what your thing is, but the devil in your flesh knows. And mark it down, the devil knows and your flesh knows your moment of weakness, and it'll always creep up, and it'll always grab a hold of you, and it'll always take the Lord to let you know it's got you. And Peter was asked by the Lord, he said, do you love me more than these? You know what I did on Saturday morning after I got home from fishing? I got home Friday night. Love to fish. I go all night. I'd fish all night long. I go home. I go to sleep. Fished in the rain. It was thundering and pouring down rain. Who's them dummies out on the boat? I was one of them dummies out on the boat in the pouring down rain fishing.
because I knew there was a bilge pump in the boat, and the boat wouldn't sink. I'd fish in the rain. I'd fish it with women's morning. I mean, I'd fish. And Lois, I got up Saturday morning, the first thing I did, I got on my cell phone and looked for a bass boat. This preacher looked for a bass boat. Sunday, I didn't do it. Monday, I did. Looked for a bass boat. Y'all hearing the preacher? I'm not trying to tell a funny. Tuesday, I looked for a bass boat. Tammy's going on vacation. I got to stay home. She said, what are you going to do? I said, well, if I had a bass boat, I'd take Noah out fishing. Smiley face on the text message, wasn't it, honey? Smiley face on the text message. Come to church Wednesday, didn't look at it. Come to the gym ministry Thursday night and sitting there and got done. Me and James outside talking, and James said something. He goes, you know, you got that old adage, what happens when a preacher gets a bass boat? I'm sitting there going, what in the world? Going in well. James didn't have no idea I was looking at a fish, looking at a bass boat. Y'all hear this preacher? About three times I was looking for a bass boat. God sent me a big old rooster to crow. Right? The comfortability that I had fishing and the comfortability of knowing what I knew what I was doing. But the Lord asked Peter, he says, do you love me more than these? I want to ask this youth group. I want to ask this middle-aged group. I want to ask this old group. Do you love the Lord more than the people you're sitting around? Or is it the comfortability about coming to Mount Zion Baptist Church, knowing how things are going to go, makes you at ease in Zion? And the scripture says, woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. Preacher, that's an Old Testament scripture. Doesn't apply for today's day and time. I'm sorry, friend. All scripture is profitable. All scripture has been given by the Lord. Amen. Profitable for reproof, for rebuke. Huh? Correction and instruction in righteousness. A lot of times people won't go to that next level. A lot of times people can't, the Lord can't use them because they won't leave the area of familiarity. They won't leave the area of being comfortable. They won't leave the crowd that they're with. Whenever I played in that gospel group, they got a lot of them mad because I quit. And they said, why are you quitting for? Don't you like hanging out with us? Don't you like picking no more? I said, it's not the fact that God, I don't want to pick with you no more. But God said, it's time for you to move on and do what I want you to do. Do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than the things that you're doing right now? If you love me, he said, feed my lambs. He was telling Peter, he said, hey, I know you like fishing. I can help you out with your fishing. I mean, you got all the things you need to know about fishing. He said, but I'm asking you, do you love me more than these? And you said, preacher, I thought he was dealing with him about a sin about denial. Can I say this? When he said, I'm going fishing, jump back in the boat, got all his buddies and went fishing again, he was still denying the Lord. You can be saved as a day long, your name marked in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you can still deny the Lord by your actions. Still deny the Lord by your actions, by refusing to do what he have you to do. He denied the Lord, and the Lord asked him, do you love me more than these? The Lord's asking us tonight, do we love him more than these? I wonder what your pet thing is. I wonder what your comfortable thing is. I wonder what the crowd is for you. I ain't saying saved people are sinners, and I ain't saying you shouldn't hang out with saved people. That's who we should hang out with. But when it comes to times for service, you got to separate yourself for the service. Y'all with the preacher? Can I say it's sort of like a little Bible study. Now go to Luke chapter number 24. We're going to read two verses there. Luke chapter number 24. Or Luke 14, I'm sorry, Luke 14. Luke chapter number 14. Read these scriptures with us, would you? Luke chapter 14. Love to hear these Bible pages flip. Luke chapter 14. And verses number 26 and 27. I can almost quote them, but I want to make sure I got them right. Verses 26 and 27. And Jesus said this, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doeth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. That's some rough preaching right there, isn't it? He's not saying that you should hate your... The Bible says if you hate not your father and mother. What he's saying is that you've got to love me more than these. If I'm going to use you for any kind of thing, can I say this, grandma, grandpa? You might think I'm in my twilight of my years, and I don't know, I don't think God can use me no more. Can I say this, grandma, grandpa, great grandma, great grandpa? You can be the light, you can be the word giver, you can be the pillar in the life of a grandkid or a niece or a nephew or a young person or a middle-aged person in the house of God, but they can get their inspiration and encouragement to press on and be different in a world and sometimes a church of compromise.
he's looking at Peter and he's telling Peter these things. Can I say this? Go to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Some of you may know where I'm going with this. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. I want to read these verses. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Starting at verse number 19. The Bible says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of the Lord, or nameth the name of Christ, depart from iniquity. We love those scriptures. I love those scriptures. He says, but in the great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. He said, that's in the great house. He said, in the great house there's some that's honorable and there's some that's not honorable. Right? That's what you read the same scripture I did. You read the same verses I did. And this is Paul talking to Timothy. This is Paul assuring Timothy. He said the seal of God is standing sure. The foundation of God is standing sure, having this seal. He knows them that are his. And we sung that song and Ben got all excited. He knows my name. The most important thing you got to know tonight is that God knows your name. But secondly, do you want to be a vessel of honor or dishonor? You say, preacher, what makes you a vessel of honor or dishonor? Well, let's just do it this way. Go to verse number 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, what are these? The wood and the earth and the things that cause dishonor, the things that are carnal, the things that are not profitable. If you purge yourself from these things, he says, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified meat for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. He's telling Peter, he said, Peter, do you love me more than these? Are you willing to separate yourself to be used for the master? Can I say all of us has to be willing to be separated from the things that are comfortable to us? I got asked a couple weeks ago by somebody. They said, Brother Jason, are you going to be at Mount Zion for the foreseeable future? Don't y'all get no big lump in your throat and be questioning me. Don't be worried about me. Trust me. I said, I don't know if I'll be here at Mount Zion tomorrow. I know I'll be a pastor for the rest of my work down here as long as I do what God had me to do and follow and be meet for the master's use. But I can't say I'll be at Mount Zion. That's God's business. I know what my heart is. My heart is I don't want to go nowhere else. I want to stay right here. But I'd be a fool to say, Lord, as long as I'm comfortable, I'm going to stick right here because this is easy. I know everybody. I walk in, shake Junior's hand, Lois's hand, Lucy's hand, John's hand, Debbie's hand, make my way to the front, shake your hand. The familiarity is wonderful. It makes it easy. You ain't pushed out of your comfort zone. But the Lord said, do you love me more than these? I love everyone in the depth of my heart. But if I don't love the Lord more than you all, what kind of disciple can I be? What kind of worker can I be? Secondly, he says, let's move on in verse number 16. He said to him again, he said the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said to him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said to him, feed my sheep. As I said, he's dealing with Peter's denial of him. He's trying to drive it home to Peter. Peter says, Lord, thou knowest. Peter, I think if you'll have this, a lot of times when I've been confronted by my sin, Brother Paul, I try to give the answer that's easiest to give. You understand what that is? My kids sometimes, when I ask them certain questions, they're now got this point. They're trying to think of the answer that Dad wants to hear instead of giving me what the truth is. I've had some of them say, I told you that because I thought that's what you wanted to hear. Can I say, there's some things that I want to hear. There's some things the Lord wants to hear, but what the Lord wants is truth in the inward part. That's what he told David. Thou demandest truth in the inward part. He's dealing with Peter about his sin. He's dealing with Peter about the things that he's done. He's trying to make sure that Peter realizes, don't go back to fishing, go back to doing the same thing anymore. Don't do those things. Don't trust in the familiar. Don't trust in those things. He said, you deny me. You said you was ready to go. You ain't ready to go, Peter, because you're sitting there and you think you can get back with the familiarity. But the second time, everybody says, well, he's just dealing, but we want to break it down for one more pace. The second time, he's still dealing with his sin. The first time he's dealing with the sin of the familiarity to do the things that he always did. Can I say this? When you're saved, when you get born again and saved, you become a part of the local church. You take part in what they call believer's baptism, right? When you get in that church, is it to sit in the pew and just punch your clock on Sunday morning? Is it to holler out song selections to the song leader, which is good sometimes? Is that what we're supposed to do? Is that our service?
Praying for the preacher is good. It should be done. We need folks praying for the preaching. Need folks pray for the preacher. And some folks praying in the pew is good, but that's not the only thing you can do. When the Lord saves us, He puts, and I remember when I got saved, I remember seeing the first kids Sunday school, and Sister Tina, I saw Kim Carpenter, Sister Kim, teaching those kids, I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never zoom or fly over the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. Them kids would shout. I'm sitting there 27 years old, and I got tears welling up in my eyes going, man, them kids full of spit and vigor. But you know what? We enlisted in a battle. When you got saved, you said, preacher, I ain't got no dog in this fight. Oh, yeah, you do. You got loved ones. You got neighbors. You got friends. You know, I think sometimes we need to sing them old songs, put us back in remembrance. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. He deals with him the second time. And after he deals with him the second time, he leaves him with this delegated duty. He said, feed my sheep. He deals with Peter's going back to the comfortable things, so he ain't got to be on the spot. And he said, feed my lambs, that's the young ones. The second time he deals with him, he says, feed my sheep. But this third time, when I've always overlooked, and the Lord dealt with my heart upon it. Verse number 17, he said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, that thou knowest that I love thee. See, Peter confessed, I love thee. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. But he goes on in verse number 18. And he says some things about his own death. He looked at Peter and he said, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and there shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. He was speaking about his own death in that. But what's it got to do with Peter? Because he says in verse number 19, in that same verse, he said to him, follow me. He's telling Peter, I'm setting the example for you. I know you young girls, I grew up with young girls because I was a young boy in school, and I know what they would sit, and I know how things is be done. But can I say this? It's more important to be different than the rest of the girls in the school. Because you'll still suffer the same things that the other girls suffer in school. But the problem is, and we was coming out of Gold Star in Blanchester, and we was talking, and I saw this young girl, and Gabriel says, I know that girl, we go to school. He said, but everybody picks on her. Come to find out, she's the waitress's sister. She goes, I wonder why they're picking on her. And Gabriel says, I know why they pick on her. She's different. Can I say this? It's one thing to be picked on for things that you're known for that's wrong, and there's another reason that you be picked on for some things that's right. And I tell you what, you're going to suffer for evil or suffer for well-doing is what Peter said. It's better for you to suffer for well-doing. Be that godly example in your school. He told Peter, he said those things for Peter to follow him. Follow him. He said, I'm strong. I'll be girded about. You're strong. He said, there'll come a time, though, when somebody else will lead you where you would not. He said, somebody's leading me up there. It wasn't Jesus' plan to go to Calvary when he's in the garden. He said, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus in his flesh. And now somebody's going to say, well, preacher, you're on dangerous ground. Jesus even said, let this cup pass before me. He said, but not my will, let thy will be done. Why? Jesus was about to go to a place that had never been before, do something that had never been done before, and be separated for the first time from his Father. He was separating himself, if you have it, from the rest of the disciples. He said, Peter, follow me. Peter, be different. Peter, follow me. Look what Peter does. Peter does what every good Baptist does. Verse number 20. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, following which also leaned on his breast at supper, and saith unto him, Lord, who is he that betrayeth thee? Peter seeing him saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? You know who Peter's referring to?
You might know who Peter's referring to? The very man who wrote this. Peter does the thing that every Baptist does. Hey, Lord, what's he doing? Oh, what's John doing? John's the one. John, and can I say this? He wasn't trying to make John look bad. He says, this is the one that leaned on your breast. The only disciple says, Lord, is it I? John leaned on Jesus' breast and said, Lord, who is it? He didn't say, Lord, is it I? John said, Lord, who is it? You know why John could lean on the breast of Jesus and say, Lord, who is it? Because the Bible says that was the disciple whom Jesus loved. He followed the Lord. He went with the Lord. He's the one that nobody probably liked in all the 12 disciples. They probably thought, man, there he goes, kissing up to the Savior, kissing up to the Messiah. He's got his own little spot right there. He's got his title. He's got his place. You know, he just bothers the far out of me. It seems like he can't do no wrong in Jesus' eyes. But I know him. I used to go fishing with him. I know his life. What about him, Lord? And look what Jesus said to him. Jesus said unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is it to thee? Follow me. We can make excuse after excuse on things, on what we're supposed to do, but we deny the Lord when we don't follow him. We deny the Lord when we don't fulfill the will that he has for us. I wrestled for years on why he chose David. You know, he chose David. In 1 Samuel 13 said he'd already chosen the one that was going to fulfill his will, a one that was after his own heart, and David messed things up royally, didn't he? But in the midst of his sin, David still repented. David still sought the Lord. Psalm 51, you want to know how David repented? Look at Psalm chapter 51. And I'm telling you, it wasn't just a handwriting letter and put it on the altar and say, Lord, there it is. David wept. David's heart was broke because of the sin that he had done. David had to deal with the result of his sin for the rest of his life. Y'all hearing this, preacher? Just because you're saved doesn't mean you get by with sin. David had to deal with his sin and reap what he sowed the years of his life. Can I say this? Some people say, well, as long as I've heard people say, well, you Baptists, you guys are just ain't right because you say it's okay to sin because you're still eternally saved and everything's all right. Friend, I'm telling you, it's the stupidest thing that anybody who's a Baptist could ever believe. We are saved eternally and securely, once saved, always saved, if you've been saved. And if you've been saved, there is no more desire to go back to being what you once was. There is no more desire to do the things you once did. And you say, preacher, what you're getting on shaky ground? I got enough Bible to prove to you that the Bible says the person putting his hand to the plow looking back. He didn't he look back after he put his hands to the plow. He was looking back already when he put his hands to the plow. And you watch in Matthew chapter 13, there were seeds that was planted, and only one got the seed going amongst the good and honest ground, Brother Eddie. I've seen them come, and I've seen them go. We give them titles, pat them on the back, try to put them in positions. But when the preaching got tough and got rough, they got mad and left. Or when the cares of this world got real good and got real thick, they left. Y'all hearing this, preacher? Some folks think it's bad, and some folks think I'm being mean. But friend, there's a world laughing at the church of today. When people can still go to those concerts and still do the things they once did when they was lost and expect to be any kind of power in a witness or a testimony, you've got another thing coming. You'll become a byword. You'll become when the world passes by and shake their head and hisses at them. And they profess this, but they live like that. That's what he's telling Peter. And Peter said, I said, well, wait a minute, Lord, what about him? Lord, you can't send me. Send the preacher. Send him. He can throw out scripture. He knows how to handle a tight situation. He can handle the stress. Send him. Well, what about the preacher? Why can't we use him? Jesus says, follow me. Send James. He's pretty bold. He ain't afraid to make people mad and torque people off, say things he probably shouldn't say. Send him. No, don't worry about James. Follow me. Send Eddie. Eddie's the go-getter. He's the hard worker. He's been here long enough. He's got the experience. He's got the training. He's been doing this thing for a long, long time. Send Eddie. No. Follow me. Follow me. The church world is now filled and always has been filled, Brother Eddie. This is nothing new. It's been filled with people who wants to pass it on down. Let somebody else do it. Y'all here still with the preacher? But there's something that y'all may think I'm crazy. I don't walk by facts, Brother Don. I walk by faith. And in every scripture, God can show me something. that just makes me ponder. Now, I know in the great theologians, they say there's no way this is, they say the King James Bible was miswrote on this. Your King James Bible ain't miswrote. But I find it kind of on the surface that he called him Simon, son of Jonas. So I'm kind of figuring that his daddy's name was probably Jonas. Because Jonas in the New Testament is actually Jonah in the Old Testament. Y'all with the preacher? Now, there's no way Jonah could have been Simon Peter's dad. Just Methuselah. I mean, we're talking years between. But there's so much familiarity between Simon, the son of Jonas, and the prophet Jonas. Notice that both of them loved the boat. Both of them, and I'll get to, was sent to preach a message to a people they did not want to be around. Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh. He hated Ninevites. Acts chapter 10, the Lord sends for Peter. To who? The Gentiles. He said, "No, Lord, nothing common, unclean has touched my lips." And we all know the story. The Lord dropped that sheet down. All manner of four-footed beasts, and every good Baptist like it when the Lord says, "Rise, slay, and eat." A lot of people go, that carnal stuff, they're like, that means I can eat anything I want. That's not what he was referring to. He was saying, what I've cleaned, what I've deemed, what I've, don't you call common. Don't look up, don't look down your nose and be highbrow. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. Simon of Jonas didn't want to go to the Gentiles. Notice Jonah fled to Joppa to jump on a boat to go to Tarshish. And where was Peter at? Peter was being sent to where? Joppa, or he's at Joppa. Jonah preached a message to the Ninevites, and they all got saved. Right? Jonah got mad because he didn't like them. Peter preaches a message to the Gentiles, Cornelius. What happens? Holy Ghost falls. They all get saved, and they all spake with a tongue, with the Holy Ghost tongue. They was filled and spake with those tongues. And Peter's now trying to go back to the Jews, the ones he was with, and he's rehearsing the thing going, and you know, they ain't going to believe me. They ain't going to think that God sent me. They're going to say, I've compromised. They said, Jonah did this. Peter did. Simon, son of Jonas, was willing to separate himself from the rest of the crowd and preach and do something that nobody else was willing to do. Are we willing to lay aside the things that we deem to be what we think is right? I said this before and I say it again. There's people that wants to do the things that they think God wants them to do because they think that's what God wants them to do. And there's another thing to do what God has you to do. And here's a little piece of advice to know if you're doing what God wants you to do, is if God is blessing and prospering you in what you're doing. Y'all hearing this, preacher? Is God blessing you and prospering you in what you're doing? I found out some of them was listening to the message this morning because one of them come to me and said, they said, there's more people asking for jets than that jackleg down in Louisiana. They're all the same. But God's looking for a group of people, Brother Eddie, who's willing to be called out. King James, sing that song, called out, called out. I told Brother James this Thursday night, I was listening to a preacher preach this. He said the difference between a burden and a calling. He said, burdens come and go, but a calling don't leave. A calling don't leave. I ain't saying everybody's called to preach like I am, but everybody is called to preach a message to somebody. All I am is a nobody trying to tell everybody about a somebody who can save anybody. But I got to be willing to separate myself and follow him. I wonder if we're following him tonight. Simon was dealt with by his denial, by Jesus and grilling in him, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know I love me. Then follow me." When Peter denied the Lord three times, he's had in his heart, Jesus, we said this morning when he's resurrected, he said, "Go tell Peter I'm alive." Peter was probably wiping the sweat off his brow going, "Phew, I dodged that one." But when he went back to fishing, Jesus found him and said, "Simon, you ain't doing what you're supposed to be doing." Would you follow me?